From the studios at 77 Monroe Center in downtown Grand Rapids, this is West Michigan Live with Neil Dion on News Radio Wood 1300 and 106.9 FM.
Well, good morning. It's the morning after again. It seems like we've got stuff flying around all the time besides snow, which we're getting a pretty good dose of at the moment. It was the State of the Union speech, Obama's last night. Boy, I would love to have been a fly on the wall in that room when the speech was done. You could tell by some of the expressions that there was absolute elation and admiration, and then a bunch of grumpy faces as well. Nobody ever agrees at these things. But Congressman Bill Huizenga agreed to join us this morning and actually wrote a terrific piece about the State of the Union address last night. And I'll let him sum it up rather than reading it to you. Congressman, good morning. Great to have this time with you.
Hey, good to be with you, Neil. And did you put me in the grumpy face category or did you put me in the elation? Because it was his last one, so I was pretty happy about that.
There was some applause regarding that line. I was looking for you. I didn't see you, but you know what? I think the expression on Speaker Paul Ryan's face pretty much summed up my attitude through the speech last night.
Well, he definitely had been practicing his poker face, and when you are on camera like that, sitting behind the president, it can only go badly for you. So the goal there is not to make news, which he did. So
yeah.
As far as the president's speech, it was interesting, Neil, because it literally to me felt like it was a campaign speech.
Yeah.
And very broad themes and sort of this call for hope and change and our better selves and all of those things. And his call 8 years ago to change the culture of Washington, at least he admitted that his biggest regret is that the rancor has gotten worse. That was his quote.
Well, yeah, he's responsible for that.
Well, exactly. That's exactly what I was going to say. I mean, the irony is that he has created that culture, and that is really, I think, my big concern. And, actions speak louder than words, and it's not just Republicans in the House or in the Senate. Frankly, he's got a terrible relationship with all of Congress, and the legislative branch has been gone around both sides of the aisle. If you talk to the Democrats who were there, even during Obamacare and during Dodd-Frank and things like that in his first term, when he had 60 votes in the Senate and, rock solid majority in the House, they got ignored then too. Then it was sort of a, no, you don't understand. I got elected president and this is how we're going to do things. And, that is not, in my view, a way to change a culture.
Yeah. When he's asking people to get more involved and not feel the pressure of having to adhere to a certain philosophy, it seems so odd because all these years, Harry Reid has been his backstop. I mean, how full is his desk, with bills that he never allowed to get to the White House? In the meantime, he keeps screaming at Congress to do something. They keep trying, but everything is circumvented so that it never gets to his desk. And it just seemed odd to me to stand up there for 52 minutes or whatever it was, bragging about all of these great accomplishments. And I'm still trying to see some of them that he was bragging about. It just did not compute. You know what, Congressman? The thing that scares me most about our republic is an uneducated populace. And I don't mean people that aren't smart or people that didn't go to school. I mean uninformed. If the John Q. public looked at everything the president said last night and backtracked, and he still talks about ISIS like they're the JV team, they're no big deal, they can't hurt us. We know right now.
His quote was, "This isn't World War III."
They're making chemical weapons. They're making chemical weapons. If they can get nuclear weapons from Iran or somebody else, they will do it.
Well, I wrote down this quote that he had. He said, "Will we respond with fear or face it with confidence?" And the Washington Post, I think, bought into that. No surprise, I guess, this morning.
Yeah.
Their headline was, "Obama urges nation not to fear future." And I wrote down, I said, it's not fear. It's a belief that we have gone in the wrong direction. And that, you know, that he's confusing opposition with fear of change. And it's like, no, I'm good with changing the healthcare system. I just want it to actually help people and to lower costs and to make sure that those who were promised lower costs with greater access actually receive that. And they haven't gotten that. Same thing with Dodd-Frank. You know, so there's a lot of things that sort of rang hollow for me last night, and you touched on one of the other ones. He was talking about, you know, how do we keep America safe without being the world's policeman? You know, and he said we have a strong military and we're the world leader that others call. There's no diminished power, and the irony is we've got 10 sailors in the hands of the Iranians at that exact moment. Our Navy has never been smaller since the beginning of World War I. We've got planes that are grounded. We've got troops that aren't getting trained. And he's saying, hey, don't worry about it. This isn't World War III. Don't overreact. And he, as you pointed out, he's still sort of treating them as the JV team. And, you know, it's not a capability issue for our men and women. It's do they have the training and the equipment, and are they given the green light to go do what they do best? Mm-hmm. And he has handcuffed our military time and time and time again.
The commander-in-chief role is the primary responsibility of the president. One, to uphold the Constitution, obviously, which he has ignored repeatedly, which we could quote the number of times. But keeping America strong and safe is the other part of that equation in terms of the president's primary responsibility. And I think we're seeing it not only in polling data, but in just conversation with people. Because I talk to people all day long, every single day, and people just do not feel safe. We've always had that calm confidence in the strength and power and benevolence of the United States of America. And right now, we just don't feel connected to any of that. Our history, our pride, it's had 7 years to be forgotten.
Yeah, and I think that's exactly right. Excuse me. You know, when he is talking about this as great success, we've got our allies around the world confused. When Saudi Arabia is saying, please don't do this deal with Iran, this is going to cause problems. It has caused problems. It's going to continue to cause problems. When Israel is saying, hey, guys, we feel abandoned in the middle of this, that's a problem. When North Korea and Kim Jong-un can have his temper tantrum and start, you know, these have real-world consequences when you are a nuclear power the way that they have become. You know, you look at the rise of ISIS or ISIL, and what they have been doing, and to just sort of dismiss that and pretend like that, you know, hey, we're going in the direction that I want it to go, and we just can't be the world's policemen, so if others aren't going to step up, I guess, oh well, that's a huge disappointment. And then to not hear anything about what we should be doing for those troops once they have served their country. I mean, complete and utter failure on the VA part.
And he took credit for it.
And no mention of that from him at all.
Well, he did brag that we were taking better care of our soldiers and returning veterans than ever before, and I nearly choked. But I have a lot of other points I need to bring up with you, but I have to pause for just a moment. Our guest is Congressman Bill Huizenga. We are discussing last night's final Obama State of the Union address. We'll return with more in a moment here on West Michigan Live. I'm Neil Dion. This is News Radio Wood 1300 and 106.9 FM.
You're hearing West Michigan Live on Wood Radio. Here again is Neil Dion.
Discussing last night's State of the Union speech from Mr. Obama. Our guest is Congressman Bill Huizenga. And Bill, you wrote a great piece about the missed opportunities of the president last night. And one of those is, he said repeatedly last night with quite a forceful voice that these terrorists will be found and they will be destroyed. And I'm thinking, oh, okay, when? You know, when?
Yeah.
How? We've been waiting since we left Iraq for him to do something. And he talks about, oh, well, we've done all of these sorties and blah, blah, blah. We've done the same number of sorties in a year that we did under W in Iraq in a day. And I'm wondering, you know, where's the real effort here? We're getting pushed around and embarrassed by Putin. The Saudis and Israel are wondering who the United States has become. We had Iran detain 2 ships and 10 sailors last night. The president never mentioned. I'm told this morning they've been released. That's true. I don't know yet. And these a nearly non-existent unemployment rate, which he, you know, basked in the glory last night at 5%. But if you look at the labor participation rate, the real numbers, we got 94 million people that can't find a job. That's a lot of stuff
like
there.
I need to get you writing my press release.
I'm sorry.
I brought up too many things. A lot of those missed opportunities. We have diminished on the international stage in a way that we haven't seen since the Carter years. And frankly, that's a problem for both our allies and our enemies. Our allies are confused and our enemies are emboldened. And we see it in West Michigan. The economy has come around. But as I talk to people every day, just like you do, there just isn't that confidence. They don't feel secure. Even those who are having banner years are going, man, I'm not investing in any equipment unless I absolutely have to. I'm socking it away because it just feels like the other shoe is going to drop here at some point. And, you know, the president can't have his cake and eat it too on this. He's touting economic success, job creation, et cetera, while income inequality has grown dramatically under his administration, not a Republican administration. It's his policies out of the Fed. It's his policies out of this government that have tightened and squeezed small business owners who are, whether it's healthcare, they're confused about what direction healthcare is going to be going, what their regulatory environment is, what's their tax environment. And, you know, I would argue, I'm a chair of the Monetary Policy and Trade Subcommittee on the Financial Services. I have oversight of the Fed, the Federal Reserve. And there's a lot of economists that would argue, and this just came from Forbes. We happened to be with Steve Forbes. And he was quoting a statistic. If you look at the liquidity that has been put into the economy, you know, the money that has been freed up by the Fed, the vast majority of it has gone to government. The next that's like 39%, 37%, in the low 30s. It's big, massive institutions that, frankly, don't have a problem getting credit. And the real loser on that, 6% of all of that has gone into small business owners. Those are the mom and pop shops that really create jobs, and they're the ones that are going to lead an economic revival here. And they're not seeing the benefit. And how that translates to Main Street is people just don't have that confidence. Wall Street is doing more than fine. They have benefited from this administration in ways that probably since J.P. Morgan and the Rockefellers, we have not seen it. Mm-hmm. But Main Street is not benefiting. And that those are the people who we have to be fighting for, and those are the people who I'm fighting for every day. And this administration has glossed over that and somehow still goes and attacks these banks who, because of the regulations out of Dodd-Frank, have gotten bigger. Mm-hmm. All right, the big banks have gotten bigger under this administration and Elizabeth Warren, not gotten smaller. Our community banks and our credit unions, they're the ones that are bearing the brunt of that. And they seem completely tone deaf on that.
Yeah, he says we need to find a way to ease up on regulations so these small businesses can grow and prosper. But he's the one that's added thousands and thousands of pages to the code. And I think it's time to stop blaming Wall Street and put the responsibility directly where it should be, and that's Pennsylvania Avenue. And I'm very anxious for November.
Yeah, that, likewise. I was actually sitting 2 seats away from Marco Rubio, and it was good just having a little chat with him and how things are going. And there's a lot of optimism. Whether I'm a Rubio fan, but whether it's others who are in that field, we've got an opportunity. We just need to capitalize on it here as we're moving forward. I think it's just delicious irony that Bernie Sanders is now leading Hillary Clinton in New Hampshire. So you'll see her sort of turn up the dial on crazy and start going in the direction where Bernie Sanders is. Now, here we go with a 74-year-old socialist, literally leading the charge and being the standard bearer for that party. So
that only leaves 48 states for us.
We've got to make sure that that we are connecting with the American people and letting them know what our vision is for the future versus a vision like that of more government, more regulation, nanny state kind of stuff.
Yeah, I was saying that would only leave us 48 states if Bernie takes New Hampshire and Iowa. Then we could pretty much run the table, I think, after that. But obviously, the Clinton campaign is a bit nervous. I, too, am a Rubio fan, but you might find this interesting. Some numbers just crossed my desk that show that as of this morning, new polling data shows that Jeb Bush has jumped up to third. So the next 3 weeks are going to be a lot of fun to watch, Bill.
Yeah, it is. Between Iowa, New Hampshire, South Carolina, Nevada, you know, by the time we get to Michigan on March 8th, there will be a lot of water under the bridge that, you know, frankly, 4 years ago, 8 years ago, 12 years ago, nobody was wondering and hanging on what was going to happen in the Kansas caucuses. And now all of a sudden, everybody is. And nobody was sending folks to Guam or to Puerto Rico trying to shore up delegates. But, that's the reality of where we're at right now. And everybody's fighting and scrapping for every vote and every delegate, potential delegate for the national convention.
Yeah.
This is going to be kind of a seminal election here. And, hopefully this was a bit of a challenge for me. I served for 6 years in Lansing under the Granholm governorship. The 5 years now will be 6 years that I've been here in Washington, D.C., serving under the Obama administration. I just desperately want an executive who actually has a plan, can execute the plan, and can articulate a vision much different than the direction that we've been going these last number of years.
Well, I'm sure glad you're watching the store for us.
Well, hey, we're very vigilant, and you're only as good as the people you surround yourself with, and we got a great staff and great folks. But the frustrating thing is, Neil, that I can't choose the terrain of which I have to fight on. That's sort of been determined by the American people. We have the president in 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. We've got a powerful Senate minority leader in Harry Reid because of the way that the rules are set up. And I'm optimistic now, more optimistic now with Speaker Ryan in the direction that he wants to go. We have to just deal with the realities of what we have. So we've got one promise that I can make is that President Obama will be out next January. So
I'm going to hold you to it.
That is, I think, good news for a direction that we're trying to go as a country.
Congressman, it's been a privilege having you this morning. Thank you very much for your time.
Hey, my pleasure, Neil. We're going to have to just start the Neil and Bill show. We'll just take over the airwaves here at some point.
That'd be fun. We'll talk about that. As long as you're willing to work cheap, we can make it happen.
Sounds good. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you. Be careful out there. All right. Congressman Bill Huizenga, our guest here on the President's State of the Union address last night. Lots more to come on the show. Don't go anywhere. We've got John Pollock coming back to explain more how to handle your $1.6 billion windfall perhaps tonight. And Grand Rapids Police Chief Dave Rehinsky will join us this half hour as well. All coming up on West Michigan Live, News Radio, Wood 1300 and 106.9 FM.